Hey everyone. Thanks for that introduction. So I'll just dive straight into describing the employee survey methodology that we've developed. So can't see it there. So security managers, they declare a central security policy. It's typically informed by their expertise, their experience, and information they're getting from the technical systems that are immediately available to them. Restrictive technologies that aren't a good fit for employees, they can cause problems, they can hinder employees. So it's really critical to involve employees in the development of security policies, where an overburdening of security, the effort associated with security, can hinder productivity, and misalignment of security with people's tasks can put people off security and even put them off the business itself. So policies really need to consider employees. I don't know. It's that big. Oh, bollocks. Feel free to try and continue. Yeah.
Mirror displays can solve problems quickly.
Ah.
Is that better?
My hero. Thank you. Right. Okay. Right. Now I can go on with it. So I should try and speed up now. Right. So policies need to consider employees. People's daily working lives, it's not all about security. It's not like people turn up to work and they want to sit there and create new passwords and enter them all day. They've got other tasks to do. And of course, I'm saying the word employees as if they're all the same. They're not the same. Employee populations can be different across different dimensions, especially in large organizations. So our motivation was to work with a large organization to generate a rich snapshot of security maturity. So how do employees regard security and carry it with them in their working day, and the security behaviors that people enact within a population across different dimensions in that population, not just for our own purposes, but for direct use in aligning security with the business. So the aims really elicit realistic survey responses from employees. So we want to be able to ground the questions in a survey in what people are actually doing and the things they encounter in their working day. We want to consider scalability and the meaning of the survey. So if you're asking people questions, is it something that people can relate to? And these are surveys that may go out to hundreds of potentially thousands of people. And support policy decision making with data. So we want to represent that operational reality of the organization. So then if things are going to be changed, if it's going to influence some decisions, you know what it's actually applying to. So I've talked a bit about culture maturity. So a motivation is to understand security culture within large organizations. So employees, again, they're not just an individual, they're members of a larger organization. So we were looking at John Adams' work, where he related cultural theory to risk perception as a predictor of the impact that organization norms can have. So we have, for instance, individualists who rely on themselves to fix problems they may have when there is a kind of tension between security and the business. We have egalitarians who rely on people around them, group solutions, which may be their team, it may be the way things are done here. And then there are hierarchists who rely on the existing structure, so that may be policy, it may be technologies. And there are fatalists who just believe that their actions are not significant, it's not going to get them anywhere. And then looking at security maturity, this is a model of security behavior maturity that we developed, which was based on an earlier CMU maturity model, where we considered security competence relative to the business. So there is a security task which is supporting a primary task or a range of primary tasks. And so that competence can support secure working habits. We've got five levels here. Level one, I've got that in italics, not engaged with security in any capacity, because in a large organization, there's immediately systems there. You are forcibly engaged with security. So level two is essentially where we start. You follow a security policy when you're forced to. Systems in large organizations, you will have an account, you will log in. And then there's level three, they know a policy exists, they follow it by rote, essentially going up to level five where someone has not just internalized the policy, they're actually acting it out in novel situations that they encounter in the day. So an overview of the approach, focusing on the passive side, what we would do, we would go into an organization, we'd conduct around 100 hour-long interviews with a cross-section of employees. We'd pull out from that information about how security fits with people's working day. From that, determine scenarios that people may encounter in their work and bring those scenarios into a survey that then can be sent out to a wider group of employees in the organization to get a sense of the themes across the organization and across groups. And then there is the right-hand side where we would ideally use this information to inform interventions and target resources. It's about helping security managers, security functions, focus their efforts where they can actually achieve lasting change. So here's an example here where there's a... So this character, Jessica, she has a dilemma. She's heading toward an unmanned turnstile. So, you know, it was essentially someone unfamiliar is there, and it's this kind of scenario you might imagine of someone tailgating or someone not being known who is on the site. And so there are four options here. So that relates to the attitudes that I was talking about where... And when these are deployed, they're not necessarily always in the same order, so we try and avoid order effects. And so we're able to put these out to hundreds of employees and get a sense of common themes. And then so we had 600 responses in the organization we're focusing on in the paper. This really illustrates the kind of dimensions that we had. This is just looking at business divisions. We also cut across age groups and locations, and so on the left-hand side, business division, we have for the security maturity, we have the different business divisions, and then at the bottom of that first table, there's the organizational mean, so it's relating these different groups to the organization as a whole, and it goes up level two, level three, and so on. And we vary the, essentially for as a visual aid, there's kind of this change in the shading of the results there. So for instance, level five, how people were ranking the responses to the questions that were put to them for security maturity. We have sales and service at the bottom of table one, where they statistically significantly ranked level five higher than level four. So level four there, it's lighter because it's lower relatively. And then we have business division, again, for these behavior types in the second table.
Could you say what the numbers mean?
The numbers? Which there are a lot of numbers, I guess. Which numbers do you mean?
What do the numbers represent?
The average score for each question set, I believe, which they were given, and then for each division here, we have the relative score. So, for instance, where it's a plus number, it's relative to that organizational mean. Where it's minus, it's lower than the organizational mean. So it's kind of their average score for security maturity on the top, and then the security behavior on the bottom. Is that clear? Yeah. Cool, right. I shall try and rush along then. Right, so just to rush through an overview of the results. So for maturity levels, participants were likely to choose options which they believed, having also ranked them by acceptability. They're likely to choose what they believe to be more acceptable options. So that's good. That implies really strong, secure behavior. Interestingly, the 35 to 39 age group showed a lower average level 5 rank than other groups. So it's kind of a middle-aged group. It wasn't the young people, it wasn't the old people that was standing out there. And then the HQ ranked maturity level 4 higher than level 5 and ranked this kind of basic level 2 significantly higher than other locations, which is interesting because it's the headquarters. And then for behavior types, human resources would be what we would call a hotspot, where employees were choosing options independent of the assigned severity. So they would choose something which, independent of how critical they thought the outcome might be. 25 to 29 and 30 to 34 were more hierarchists. They would follow the existing structures more than other age groups, and there was an older age group which was less hierarchist. And then HQ and home workers were ranking individualist highest. So, and I'll get to why we thought that might be with headquarters. And so going on to high-level outcomes, as I said, the organization has a very positive security posture. Employees were picking the more acceptable, less severe options. They were adopting good security practices, even when it wasn't required by the technology or the policy. So that was these higher maturity levels. And where friction did exist between business and security, approaches were predominantly individualist. So we call that shadow security. We've seen this phenomenon in other organizations where people are relying on their own skills and knowledge. So that gets into a kind of people adapting to be able to get on with their primary task. But they still want to imbue the task with some security qualities. Hierarchists were abiding by the existing structures. Individualists may identify and solve new challenges. So what we were considering that you need this mix of different behavior types in the organization to be able to weather turbulent business and technology conditions. And thinking about interventions, areas to investigate, sales and service had stronger maturity levels, and they were able to assess the severity of the options that were put to them. So that was almost like an example, a good exemplar, which maybe investigated to see could the things that worked be transplanted elsewhere. The headquarters ranks maturity level 4 higher than level 5, as I said. What was interesting there is there was a hot desking policy which was implemented at the headquarters there. And individualists may be good there because HQ is constantly reinventing itself with new advances. So there's new challenges to kind of learn what's the best way to do this. So individualists may figure out their own way and feed that back into the organization if they are being listened to. And 25 to 34 were more hierarchist. They would follow the rules. Actually, they weren't being young and reckless, as may be assumed. And 50 plus were more fatalist. They've seen it all before. And we wondered if for the younger employees, they were mostly in sales and service, so they were exposed to they would see fraud happening, and those experiences may relate to how they consider security. We reported the results to the board and of the organization. And resources were targeted to these areas. So what was interesting was that there was an emphasis on communication. They weren't trying to load more onto people or change people's behavior. It was how they communicated security and its importance to people. So in conclusion, we were considering the scalability of surveys, the way you can capture multidimensional data all at once in a survey. And we grounded that in rich interview data. We had these multipurpose questions, which provided different dimensions, different ways to cut up an organization and target remediations. An organization we worked with, they used these results to target interventions. And indeed, there's scope to adapt scenarios across companies. So thinking about scalability, maybe as we work with more and more organizations that, so a lot of large organizations, they use very similar technologies, for instance. And getting back to this kind of shadow security thing, we can explore the potential for managers and employees to find solutions collaboratively. It's not necessarily that the security function knows how to do it best when security and the business have to be aligned for everyone to be able to get their jobs done. Okay, thanks. And any questions? Oh, straight up.
Matthew Smith, University of Bonn. Thank you for that. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more how the board reacted to the results? Were they pleased about what they saw? Did they think this is problematic? You said they're targeting some areas with additional information. Just maybe a little bit more on that, please.
They felt compelled to act, and they could see with the data where what they were able to consider the options for acting and doing something about this.
So can you give us an example of something where they said, we don't like this result, we want to do something about it? So what would a concrete problem be?
I think there was communication focused in part, I believe, in encouraging challenging of insecure behavior. So again, it gets into these maturity levels. So if tailgating would be an example where someone may not challenge because there's social norms. You don't want to upset someone or be impolite. But then if everyone accepts, well, this is, you know, we're all trying to be secure around here, and kind of encourage those kind of things. So feeling able to challenge was one thing, for instance, that they focused on.
And do you see any chance? A follow-up question. Do you see any chance of sharing aggregate anonymized data if more people would execute your survey? So I'm thinking of doing something like that with a company which I'm involved with, and it would be interesting to be able to compare the data. But I'm guessing most companies will think it's fairly sensitive. What's your feeling there?
Well, we anonymized it, and it's available.
Oh. Fantastic. Very good. Then maybe we'll get in touch.
So those summary tables you saw, for instance. Okay. Yeah, so they're there. Yeah,
very nice. Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a quick question. So fantastic work, by the way. It's great that you were able to do this and implement this in an actual organization. But that said, I'm still going to be that guy and ask a bit about ecological validity. So my question is, so these are survey responses. How do you know that people responded to the survey the way they actually behave? So either for good or for ill. So if someone said, because when people respond to the survey, they might be like, well, I know I should, if someone's trying to tailgate, I know I should stop them, so I'll answer that I'll stop them. So do you have any concerns about that, about people perhaps answering it the way they know they should, but not necessarily reflective of what they would actually do?
We try to ensure that there was no necessarily clear right answer. And also, we were asking people not just to choose their answer, but also then rank the acceptability of each option or the severity, perceived severity of each option. So it was almost asking them all, which do you think is the right answer? So then we're able to gauge it that way.
Okay, interesting. Okay, let's thank the speaker.